T-minus 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hey folks, how you doing? Welcome to another week of the Launch Sequence Podcast. It's episode 132, and we've got salvage to talk about. Yes, 322 is coming out. It will be out soon, and with it, a couple of interesting features, one of which is causing quite a bit of a stir. So, to wrap up a week of what I'm sure was no less than too much coverage on salvage, I'm bringing in Dead Leader here, a salvage bro of the community, another YouTuber, and a previous guest of the podcast, to talk about some of this gameplay, how it's gotten here, what the actual plan for salvage is, and how things are going to change to get better. Thanks for joining me, man. How you doing?
Hello, hello. Yes, I'm Salvage Leader. The Dead Leader, Salvage Leader. That's me. What's up?
The Dead Salvage. Is there like a...
Yeah.
You got a pretty good name for your ship? Or is it your whole org?
The org is the Skull Scrapers, and right. My ship used to be the Skull Scraper. But now I've got that pink and white reclaimer, and so it's called Barbie's Dream Car.
Is Barbie not a Skull Scraper?
Barbie is a Skull Scraper, but the reclaimer itself isn't the Skull Scraper, but you know, it's filled with Skull Scrapers.
I see. Yeah. It's not Barbie's Skull Scraper Dream House.
No, it's Barbie's Dream Skull.
Okay, yeah. That's fair. Well, you've been, I'm assuming, scraping a lot of ships. Haha, badoomch. You've been doing a lot of salvage, I assume, now that we're in EPT yeah. with 322.
Yeah, I've been playing a bit with... I haven't played the latest patch version. I played like the first couple ones, but I do need to come back and check what they've been sort of changing with it. But I've been keeping up to date with a lot of the changes via the patch notes and watching other people play in that. But I'm excited to see what they finally lead with when they push it to live, what they officially say is like it for now.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people are looking into that. A lot of people have already made up their minds on that. I'm sure you have plenty to say on how structural salvage is going and everything. But first, I just kind of want to know, how are things going with you, man? How's Star Citizen been treating you, let's say, since CitizenCon?
Good. I mean, like, I guess the one thing for me with like from CitizenCon was just that they were like, all right, so here's all the things to look forward to and like when they come in, but there's not much to do like in the meantime, other than now sort of in the EPTU sort of check that stuff out. I think it was more like, it's got me like excited for what's to come, but then like
Dead Leader, you know, CitizenCon, they love that.
Yeah. I mean like IAE felt really kind of lackluster this time. Like there wasn't much reason to care about that. I feel like where last year, I remember like the hype that got me into making content was the Corsair hype. Do you remember how fever pitch that was? Like,
yeah.
And there were like leaks left and right, and everyone was making leak videos, and they were making videos on how it's immoral to make leak videos, but everyone wanted the leaks, and I was watching all of them like crazy. I was super excited about that, and I got really into like, I was so like a hype for the Corsair. And yeah, I felt really cool. Everyone like the Cutter dropped as well.
Well, the Corsair was, man, that was a fan favorite. I mean, people wanted that one for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that's happening with the game lately has been a lot more straight to flyable ships, a lot less time for the hype to build up around that. So they just came and dropped the Cutter on us. And it's like, okay, well, first of all, it's a variant. Second of all, they just kind of dropped it in rather than teasing it for a long time. Yeah. And they did the same with the Siulin. So definitely less hype, because generally most of the conversation was around a concept ship. I guess no, the Siulin got a lot of talk, but overall the last year or two, there's been less opportunity to hype up those earlier ships, at least during IAE.
But there has been less JPEG ships put out, I found, though. Like I don't think the Arrasta like counts, like, because that was announced like last CitizenCon or whatever. Like that was one of those things that was like it was voted on. You know, they only just like brought it to be viable as a concept now, but they gave a realistic timeline for it, and we already knew it was going to happen. It's not like, and here's a new JPEG.
Yeah, guess most people didn't know about it, so they'll see it differently. But I get what you mean.
I mean, because other than that, there was the Zeus Mark II. But were there any other concept? Were there any other like JPEG concepts released?
No. I might be missing something, but they
My first video that I posted on my channel is one about the galaxy, and it says like, "Do not buy this ship." But it's nothing really about the galaxy itself. It's me kind of talking about that. I think it's much more profitable for them to be marketing the older ships and to be giving regular, realistic updates on those older ships, because that Corsair hype that I had, like, that got me to buy in. Like, but all these other ones, those older concept ships, I have no interest in buying an Endeavor. I'm putting money into an Endeavor or,
well,
you know, just any other the older JPEGs. Like, a newer player, I was like a newer player at the time. I wasn't interested in buying an older ship, but like, because I don't have anything to grasp on that there's a reality of them being released out. So it's not, and it's not a realistic or enticing purchase for me personally. But if they were like, yeah, here, like, we're working, like, here's this, like, for this year, we're bringing out this concept, this, and this concept is going to be, like, brought to life. And they, like, got realistic about deadlines and showed stuff and, like, worked on that hype to get people excited about them. Mm-hmm. That would get people to spend real money again on those previous concept ships instead of having to bring new ones in to appeal to the old previous audience that has already put money in. Because if you ever want to repair that trust they have with the community, like, they have to start with that now. And by leaning and believing on, like, that they can sell the older concept ships again to this new audience is the best faith way of doing it.
I guess you could say that. I mean, that's what they're doing with the Polaris and the Merchantman, right? That's their strategy.
Totally. Every year, they bring those ships back. Yeah, like, they have, like, this year, and, like, as we were talking earlier, like, these past 2 years, they've been delivering on stuff way more. And so they do, you know, they've earned the benefit of the doubt in some regards from, if you just look at that track record.
They're getting better. They've got so many holes to patch and ways that they can improve it, but they've definitely gotten better. And I think one of the things that is most frustrating about this game is that it's still judged on its 2018 reputation. And it'll be a while before that changes. That's something they earned. You know, they've certainly proven themselves in some way and in others, and they've earned some not great marks on the reputation for some things. I'm glad that they've improved so much over the years. How has the game been treating you overall, like, just playing it the last month or two?
I'm pretty stable. I mean, other than when I bought the 890 jump, that was a hot mess. It's a hot mess at the moment. Like, that was, I tried to go back and do a series of, like, where I try to, like, live in a ship, like a big ship, for like a whole week of gameplay.
Yeah.
And I try and live out of it 100% as much as I can. And I was one of the lucky, in air quotes, people to be able to get an 890 jump with store credit. I literally, it was like, it was sell out like within a second. I tried to do a video with it, but it fought back.
That's
surprising. It fought back with everything that I gave it.
I'm so surprised. I didn't realize that many people wanted an 890 jump.
Oh, it's, yeah. I mean, I don't know how many they offer or whatever, but if scalpers are a thing or what, but the first time they offered it, I, like, clicked, add to cart, bought it, like, within 2 seconds maybe, and it was already gone. Jeez. But then it was in my cart, and it was waiting in my cart. And so the next time I had to go on a filming shoot, though, and so I was like, shit, I'm not going to be on my computer. So I went out on the filming shoot, but I logged into my iPad to make sure I was on, like, you know, the website, and I could open the cart and everything. I was like, okay, I'm going to have to do it on an iPad while I'm filming this other thing, like, in person, like, and was, like, doing vision switching live. And then the other hand, I was trying to buy it. But I failed in that one. I had one last time on the third time to get it, but I was back, and I was... had it in the cart, I was on my computer, and I had, like, a global, like, clock on another screen, like, ticking down the seconds, and, like, the second that it hit, like, on the hour, I clicked, like, and it, like, took ages, but then, like, I did get it on that final, like, shot. But then, I was the I was the one that, and I don't say laughing, well, it was the one laughing last, because to ruin what happens in the video, a bed logged on the ship, and then it wouldn't let me log onto the game for about 3 days straight.
Oy,
and then I finally, yeah, and it was because of that, because I bedlogged on the 890 jump.
Right.
And then I finally got to log back on, and like the ship was gone. So I tried to claim it, and it wouldn't let me claim it. And I was unable to claim it. And so I was like, I bought it.
Now you don't have it.
And I got to play with it once. And then I couldn't do it all week, and so I melted it.
Yeah,
and I bought my first JPEG. I bought my first JPEG. I got the Polaris.
There's the real scam. That's the journey of buying a ship. That's why I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I unsubscribed from that. And
well, that was brutal. My life is
less like stressful that, for it.
That was such a brutal. Like if I was like a new player and wasn't expect to like, you know, aren't used to the idea that crazy, like super disheartening things could happen with Star Citizen, that could throw you off the game for the rest of your life. If you spend like $1,000 on a digital ship and then it stops you from being able to play the game, and then you finally get back into it and then you can't use the ship.
Yeah, that's why for people who are new to this, do not spend a lot of money until you get that can happen, because that'll just ruin the whole thing, and it's not worth it.
I only did it from content. I did it for content, and I melted a bunch of other ships that I could always have just melted and bought back again. So, you know, it was a lot less of a hit for me, but I just knew it would be good content.
Yeah. Let's talk about a little bit of the future. 322 is right around the corner. It's in testing. It's probably going to be live in the next, I'd say, week and a half from this going live. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on it so far? The features it has, how they're working?
I'm excited for, like, the cargo, really. Like, the cargo storage boxes are really cool. Like, the fact that you can even, like, say you can buy them and have them directly go into your ship's inventory, but then you can also buy things and then have them shipped directly into that box's inventory as well.
That's great. That's good stuff.
That's so good. That's like, I remember like for a lot of those videos, I said where I like live out of it for a long time. Like when I did in the Karakum that I was using those small little tiny boxes or going and like blowing up Pisces to make my own boxes. And then I'd fill them up, you know, one by one by hand with water and meds and stuff, and then putting them around the ship. And the idea that I can just like do that from a kiosk, like while it's like still in the hangar, is such a speedy, like, you know, shortcut to all that's really exciting. And then like on not just the storage like crates or cargo crates, but just the crate gameplay in general. Like, you know, I'm sure we're about to talk a lot about the Reclaimer. With the Reclaimer spitting out so many boxes, it's finally here. It made me realize, I was watching your stream before with everyone working on everything, that, you know, the cargo loading and moving box gameplay is a real thing. Like, yeah, that as a like a profession and people working on it. Like, that's why they've been saying, like, you know, oh, like the, you know, we're getting the like the cargo elevators and stuff, and, you know, all the mule and the box movers and like all that stuff is, you know, being shown as in like, oh, it's an important part of the world. But I think it's been really hard to envisage how that's going to be an important part of the game loops and what scenarios those are going to cause naturally by just like doing them. And I think now is a really interesting time with the, and I'm sure CIG are watching this, but that how that gameplay is unfolding and how to now add and manipulate different sort of circumstances that make that as fun or engaging as possible to make it its own gameplay loop. And there are lots of things that I can think of that I'm like, you know, excited for, or hope they kind of do with that as well. Like a big one was like, you know, you were doing a lot of like moving, you know, cargo out of the Reclaimer onto other ships, and the ships were going to sell it. But I was kind of like, you know, well, is what they're doing faster than just if the reclaimer went and sold it itself and emptied all that. Like, you know, and if it is faster to do that cargo moving, then, like, the way you guys were doing it, like, you know, what are the benefits of that? What are the negatives, like, well, you know, of that? On how much different time is it? Is it negligible? Like,
the best part about what we were doing today was that while we were getting that cargo out of the ship, they were still salvaging.
Yeah, that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool to see, like, 3 to 4 different gameplay loops all simultaneously happening and directly affecting the success of each other at the same time. It wasn't just multi-crew gameplay on one multi-crew ship. It was multiple multi-crew ships working in sync for, like, multiple gameplay loops.
Yeah,
and it was really cool. Really fucking hope that they... Sorry, I'm swearing a lot.
No problem.
I really hope that they're taking into consideration the balancing of all these factors and how they all are going to affect, to tighten that up, to really clearly show if you do this well, your profit is going to be far and beyond anything that you could do with just, you know, just the reclaimer with a full crew, or just like one or two people, or just a solo thing. Like, those things, those screws all need to be tightened and done, like, just right for it to really, really, really pay off. And, like, one thing that I straight off the bat that I was like, this is a big thing that should happen, I reckon either all salvage either needs to only be sellable at salvage yards, you know, which is an unlike monitored zone, or you need to be able to get a lot more money from selling at a salvage yard. Like, maybe you're selling it sort of wholesale or, like, direct to people or whatever, so you're getting more of a profit, because then that added, like, what you were doing then would make so much more sense. Like, having a multiple... having multiple ships that have better defenses, that are faster at moving, able to get in and out of atmosphere better, that are more defendable, that are less conspicuous from someone else watching, multiple ones coming into those salvage yards and then, like, selling that stuff there is way more safer than the reclaimer doing it.
Yeah.
And that means that, cool, reclaimer, stay out there. Keep doing that. Keep, like, going and getting that. And then that extra money is, like, going to be paid for that sort of, like, that risk-reward thing.
Yeah, the way that they've started to now get this stuff into the game is going to let them actually test how multi-crew gameplay is going to work and multi-ship gameplay is going to work. And that's really good to see, because we know capital ships are coming in soon. The inventory changes, I agree, are really good. And you mentioned earlier that they have to build it out to be a full profession on its own. But also, you're focusing on how it's connecting these gameplay loops. And that's kind of that Star Citizen, you know, that good Star Citizen stuff is like, they're building out these game elements that are supposed to be deep enough that you can make a whole career out of it. You know, how do you stack these boxes? What kind of tractor beam are you carrying? What kind of cargo is it that you're moving, and where are you moving it to? But also, it has to be easy enough for the salvager to move that box into the cargo hauler ship, because they just need to move a box. And, like, I really started to feel that today. There were some times when I was just able to move boxes because I needed to. And there were other times when I felt like I was really focused on what am I actually doing with the way I'm stacking these boxes or moving them around. And, like, this is the first couple of updates that we can do that with. It's going to go so much further than this.
And one thing that I saw you definitely, like, notice and have questions about is, like, some technology and stuff that we got always seemed like a great idea, but then once they were implemented, like, with the tractor beams, you realize, like, hold on, like, if the tractor beam on the Caterpillar can't easily actually get any of these boxes in on the grid, or if, you know, like, on the Cutlass Black, the tractor beam can shoot outwards, but then it can't look in the cargo bay, so you can't put anything that you tractor, like, onto your cargo grid. Yeah. And the question becomes, what's the point of this? Because if it's only, like, as strong as something you can hold in your hand, what am I doing on a turret? I just need to walk 5 steps over there with my tractor beam and do it manually, which is, like, way more intuitive. What is the benefit of this even being a thing? Well, and those are questions that I didn't even know to or that I would have to ponder. It just sounded like ship tractor beams. Sick. That's what I want.
Well, I mean, that's the problem again with Star Citizen. It's like all the points aren't even in yet, right? The fact that a ship tractor beam is always going to be powered versus a battery that you'd have to carry around for a rifle doesn't matter right now. Or like that you'd be able to control all the tractor beams from one seat rather than having to get up, get out of your ship, go in EVA. Like, I agree with you, the design for sure, especially the Caterpillar. Like, we need to be able to move that tractor beam around. But some of the biggest problems with the game are like the things that we're going to talk about today with Salvage, is that they don't have the technology to even do the stuff that's supposed to make it make sense. And then we end up getting into circular conversations about stuff that is going to end up being removed anyways in the future. Like, I saw somebody arguing with another person the other day about whether or not we should be able to keep third person camera because we need it to land. And somebody else was arguing with them that we shouldn't be able to keep it because it makes the game easier for people to like look around corners and stuff. And the whole argument hinged on the idea that it was difficult to land. And I'm like, guys, we're going to have something to help with landing. We don't need the third person camera for that. But because that information, whether because CIG hasn't shared it very well or just lost to time, doesn't get out, we have these conversations about stuff that doesn't even matter in the long run.
Yeah. I mean, and there is something to be said about, you know, things being more difficult, being better for the game. I know I'm a big fan of the game Rust, and notoriously in that game, if you try for the first time, if you try and fly a helicopter, it's like almost impossible. Like, you're gonna crash, and that thing costs a lot of money to fly. And it's like a water balloon. Like, if you hit it with something, it's gonna just explode, and everything you have is gone. You're just dead, and people are gonna see it and hear it. They're gonna come and rob you. But if you actually spend the time to learn to fly, and that it is an actual skill. Like, if you spend the time to get a skill in that thing, it's so rewarding, and it rewards you for learning to be able to do that skillfully. And like, you and having all these different skilled pilots and everything, like, it feels rewarding, and it makes it not like too cheesy and everything, and is really good. But yes, also, like, you can't be just making things harder before there's even enough gameplay in there to test to see how it works. And hey, at this point, all that third person stuff, that's how we make content. We need that stuff regardless.
yeah, we need that. That would be really cool though. Let's be real. If they gave us drones we could control.
Yeah.
And then we weren't restricted by how far the camera could move from our body. That'd be so good.
But yeah. I really want like reporting drone sort of things and screens to work so badly.
Yeah. Okay, so We mostly talked about inventory, and there's a couple other changes in 3.22, but the real big other addition is the one that we're talking about mostly today, which is Salvage. You talked about a skill part of the game just now. How do you feel like so far where we are, and we're going to take a step back and talk about Salvage overall, but where we are right now with Salvage, do you feel like skill is a thing at all?
No. I don't think there's really any, there's nothing. Oh, well, that's just it. And that's the problem is, you know, there is no skill based thing with it at all. Like, especially because say if you're taking like a salvage contract, all you need to do is click accept salvage contract, go to the salvage marker, take the claw out, disintegrate it, pick it up, and then you have it. Like, any skill that would be in there would be in the skill of doing it in a timely manner or knowing where to go without getting griefed to sell it. That's like the fastest thing, or having the knowledge to equip the correct quantum drive so you're not spending all your time in quantum or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the only real skill at the moment with it.
How about when you're considering hull scraping, component stripping as well?
I mean, no, still, because my issue with where it is at the moment is that there's no reason really to do hull scraping and hull like salvaging at the moment, because if you can say select that like the like hammerhead cleanup job, which pays $250,000. You could go to that, disintegrate it, eat all of it, and by the way, as soon as you've disintegrated it, you've got that $250,000 in the bag. It's done. Yep. But then you'd take all that load on board. You know, you could have someone at the back just putting that on the grid, but then all you need to do is go, all right, well, I'm going to go get the next one of those jobs, break it, another $250,000. You know, you don't, like, the speed that you're getting that construction material is so fast and so readily available that you're better off just stacking those as fast as possible and getting all that, you know, money. And then selling everything, like, when you get the chance to it. And I mean, that's why I think I've been posting and kind of dropping hints in the videos I've been making. I've been posting in like Spectrum about that. I really, really probably jumping ahead onto a question later on here with this one. I've been really dropping that I want people to push for them to make a consumable item that you can make on the reclaimer. I've been referring to it as like a bolt, where essentially you use the hull scraping tool to get enough material to then craft this bolt, which is then used to fracture ships. And so then it's required to hull scrape to do any fracturing or structural salvaging. And then it immediately gives you more gameplay options, because you could either just do a bunch of like hull scraping and go, okay, well, at this point, I can go bank this and sell it somewhere, or I can reinvest it and turn it into these like fracture bolts, and then go do structural salvaging and then make like a higher amount of money. And then so there's a purpose to both of those already, and you have options that you can go. And I can see people going like, you know what? You know, I'll talk like a streamer, even though I'm not a streamer. Today we're going to go out and we're just going to grind bolts. You know, we're just going to go out, we're going to do a whole bunch of hull scraping, like, you know, and just get up a whole bunch of bolts, because the next time we're going to jump on and we're going to go for a massive, like, fracturing run, and we're going to disintegrate all these things. We're going to go for this one, we're going to hit that one. We're going to make so much money with all these bolts that we've gotten. Like, you know, bring the C2, bring the cat. Like, you know, we're going to get so much of this salvage. We don't want to miss a drop, because we really worked and earned these bolts doing like the hull scraping for like a long time.
Wow, man.
That immediately adds so many extra layers to the mechanics that are already there, and they wouldn't need to change any actual gameplay other than having the option to buy it and then, and you know, a number of uses you can do with the fracturing.
I want to watch Dead Streamer. That sounded exciting.
No, you want Dead Developer. You want someone to actually make that a thing.
Well, have you heard of salvage charges?
No.
That is something that they've mentioned in the salvage process, being part of the ship munching segment. I think two of the things that might help to do what you're talking about would be, one, relying more on salvage charges. And I think salvage charges will be kind of like how mining gadgets are for mining.
I don't like that though. I don't want them to be purchasable. I like really don't want them to be purchasable, because money, you can just get a bunch of money and go, I'm going to buy 100 of them, and then I'm going to go out and I'm just going to do it. Like, you can just, you can, minus the gameplay by just making them, like, that whole loop falls apart as soon as you can just buy them, because someone's just going to have millions and just do it. Because if it's, it needs to be worth it, and like to make you work to then do it. Otherwise, it's just like, and like, because then, like, if you can only construct them, you immediately get things like people in orgs like grinding those bolts and then selling them to other players. That's, and they have a value immediately, like, you know, like a father. And I don't want them buyable from stores, you know?
Well, yeah, but that would be the same thing, right? Like, you're buying them from one place or another.
But at least it's introduced. If it's from a player or player like group, that player driven thing, at least it's added that interaction. It's added that, you know, the dream of Star Citizen is that it's this fully dynamic, like, players doing this and starting businesses and all that. It's literally birthing one of their main tenets in that one move, by not, because you know what it's like when you're playing Star Citizen for a while, eventually you're going to find some sort of thing to exploit, and then you're going to have $50 million fucking dollars in your bank account, and money's not going to mean anything anymore. And that's the problem with Star Citizen, is that the only drive that it has, like, generally, is to ultimately make more money. And then once you're out of things that you can buy with money or that you need with money, there's no drive to play it, like to do things to earn that currency anymore, other than the fun of just flying around and all that. But things feel a lot less personable, but less reason to do it.
Right, but the only reason that you don't have that money doesn't matter is because we're in alpha. I mean, if the game actually mattered and they had the time sinks like insurance and all these charges for doing all these things, you'd be losing money constantly, and trying to make money would be better.
I mean, ultimately, like, yes, I guess you could say when there's this perfect economy, all nice and balanced and all that, but I feel like, I don't know, it might just be me wanting the Reclaimer to be able to craft more things than tractor beams, you know? Like,
I think it should be able to craft. I don't know about locking it away from purchasing, though. Like, maybe it being a thing that's like the Salvage Guild gives them out.
I mean, it, to me, it sounds like making more work to make something less happen. Like, by it not being that accessible, like, you are forced to do that initial gameplay loop, and it will genuinely feel rewarding to do. Like, right now, going out and just doing hull scraping, well, especially now that we've got a second resource that just takes a few minutes and it just gives you heaps of resources and money anyway, it doesn't feel anywhere near as rewarding because it's had 50% of what it can do stripped out of it, and it's just one version of two.
But that's assuming, again, that's skipping the fact that for at least for larger ships, we're going to be inside the ship getting components. So immediately getting there and fracturing the ship might not even be the best option in the future.
Maybe, but we can only really hypothesize. I think, yeah, and look, it may just be, you know, why not start with them not being purchasable and then later on add them into stores, you know, when we do have all that stuff. I'm thinking about in the immediate, you know, when it comes down to it, I am being short-sighted, but I'm saying in the PTU as it stands, I know that type of limitation on that gameplay loop, it's like the other person saying third-person view, that's too easy to land. It should be more of a skill-based thing to make that entertaining. This is me trying to say right now, if this was a thing to overcome, I would enjoy that in game right now as a stance.
I totally get where you're coming from when you say it. Like having it's one of the things I like when they talk about refining. They talk about how we'll have to craft reagents and catalysts and stuff. That's awesome, because that requires you to dig deeper into the gameplay in order to do what you're doing. I get that. But yeah, when it comes to the long term, and I'm thinking about the idea of like the difference between somebody who's a master salvager, who's got a good reputation, who has a Reclaimer and they're fracturing, versus somebody who maybe just got their first Vulture, they're brand new, they're not really all that comfortable with crafting or don't know people that well, it might be harder for somebody who's starting out, which is part of Star Citizen. It should be harder in some cases. But that's the fine balance.
New careers should take a learning curve. You got to learn a new job, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And that's like a really fine line they're going to have to thread when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It's totally a fine line.
So,
and you know.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I don't think I haven't had any more points to make at that point.
Well, we know that Salvage, as it's been presented, has like four main components to it, right? Like four main ways we're going to salvage. Do we? Is that? Did I just?
As in, do we? Do we have four?
We're supposed to have four.
We're supposed to have four. Right. I mean, like component salvage, cargo.
Yeah.
That's in the hold, then hull scraping, then hull munching.
And then,
they're in, but they're not all of those are very fun. Like the weapons don't really, you know, I think they nerfed the price, and so
yeah,
and it's not like people are constantly changing. They haven't got a million ships to change guns on, so their personal use, they don't really have much of a point for at the moment as they stand. But there is like weapon reworks and stuff coming in, so hopefully there'll be more like component diversity in ships that will make it worth it. But
and then there's at the moment,
not so much.
There's also like siphoning of fuel and oxygen that I'm guessing is what they want to do with engineering. But what do you think, if you were to take all these different things, components, scraping, munching, and siphoning, how do you see them working together?
Well, I mean, I guess that's another thing of like sort of, I mean, once we get the resource sort of management system in, we'll know for sure. But in my mind, you know, it's, you've got to have, clearly you've got to be able to feel like your ship getting worse in just general use, or like that it's getting thirstier or it's getting hungrier in some way. There's going to be some sort of decay factor in all those elements to be like, at any given time, be like, all right, I really need this right now, so it's now become my main priority. So this next ship I go after, I've really got to make sure to go out and, you know, jack the air in, or go after their power in some way, or like tank their fuel. And when that's really just balancing of, you know, removing things until they feel uncomfortable enough, you know, to be like, okay, this is the limit of, you know, this is this good until this hits. And they have said things that, like, they've been testing that stuff. I think during CitizenCon they were mentioning like how your ship will decay with general use. But, you know, if you fly it well, you know, it's not really going to be damaged and all that stuff. But like if you've been in a few battles and scrapes and stuff, you're going to want an engineer like on board. So like keep it tip top and still running, like, you know, through those battles. But
I almost feel like you're talking about this from the perspective of somebody who's like out on the frontier and they just need to repair their ship. So they're looking for somewhere to like strip resources from.
Yeah. To stay out with it. Like, I don't think the fun is in just adding more saleable commodities. You know, I think that you can do a few things with that. But I think with that resource management and the whole, like, you know, general wear and tear gameplay coming in, I'm seeing it from like, I was talking to you about survival games earlier, as like how survival games do it, where like, you know, oh, I'm thirsty. Oh, I'm hungry right now. Or, oh, I need to take a, you know, this potion to make it so I can survive in cold weather for longer before I go out here or I'll die. Like those really instinctual, like this system is failing. You need to, like, you know, there needs to be a thinking, this system is failing. Like, I've been playing for 4 or 5 hours. Now something drastic is happening, and it's not just, all right, well, go back to a landing pad, click, fix, or whatever. Like, it's got to be out of the ordinary, you know? And so, but if a good player will keep in mind that, okay, hold on, I need to really keep an eye out for this. And, you know, there also needs to be, like, you know, it needs to be worth even scanning a ship for certain things, because, you know, it may have that loot box element of like, holy crap, like that level 5 gun is an A class and it's actually, you know, its fire rate has been boosted up to da 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 da. But at the moment, when it's just, that's size 3 Panther, I got $2,000 at home. I don't care.
before anybody panics, by the way, you won't have catastrophic failures in 4 hours. They've been clear about that. But the idea of
survival. You might be thirsty. You might need to jettison thirsty. Some sewage.
Yeah, you know? Maybe get some fuel or something. But that is so cool that, like, we can talk about this as a profession, as something people are going out on the reclaimer to do and, like, do for a living. And then there's also, you can just do this if you have a tractor beam and some storage space on your ship. You can go out there, find a wreck, and strip it of its parts and go sell them. You can have a cutlass for all we care, right? And that's, like, ripping an element of salvage out and applying it to the rest of the game in the same way they're going to do it with bounty hunting and like restraints and tracking or exploration and data
that running. Being the meta that, like, for the past like 2 or 3 or 4 months, like, that was the meta to make money in Star Citizen. It was going to ship that was anything that wasn't a salvaging ship. And then look in its cargo hold.
Yeah. And that's why...
Grab the good stuff out, then get the heck out of there. And see, that's why, like, it's so important. And that's why I really want another separate purpose to the hull scraping to be important. Because if people have... if the most profitable thing that you can do with salvaging, you can just do and then move on to the next thing, and it's more profitable just to, like, chain them, then that mechanic ruins the rest of the salvaging career. Because right. If you ultimately, like, if I could sit here and I could really pick at this and, oh, eat the peas, oh, eat the corn, oh, it's a nice bit of tomato, let me enjoy this piece of tomato, oh, you'll take a bite of that careful tomato. Oh, sorry, I will always eat the tomato. And then, oh, a little bit of steak here, oh, needs a little bit of salt. Like, you know, that's what it should feel like when you're salvaging a wreck. There should be legitimate, separate reasons to want to spend that wreck, not just to get different commodities to sell, but, like, actual reasons. Otherwise, like, that's what that was my instinct, was I went and did that hammerhead job, fractured it, made $250,000, disintegrated it, but then I was like, oh, my ship's full. Now I'm just going to go spend time out pooping boxes out and then putting them onto the grid. I did that as fast as I possibly could. But during that time, I was like, why did I even disintegrate this thing? Like, I could have just fractured it, moved on to the next one, fractured it, made the money. I wouldn't have had to bury it back, would have had to sell it, would never have gotten the tram system, wouldn't have had to have done all this stuff. I could have just fractured $250,000. And that, I think that's something in general that just needs to be taken with extreme caution when it comes to adding more gameplay loops with salvaging, because one of them could immediately ruin the rest of them.
So that would be then the important next question is, do you think that they don't, like, they will just leave it like that?
No. I think they've like, as I kind of said earlier, like, what, once again, I'll cut back to, like, watching your stream, you know, they're watching plenty of people's streams trying all this stuff out. And, like, as it was so abundantly clear to us, while it is, like, while they are just sort of gameplay functions, it ultimately added an entire gameplay loop. Like, the way that all these things work together, there were clear things. And, like, I was writing down notes while you guys were talking and doing it of things that, you know, I would like to see to change the reclaimer. And then you guys were saying them, like, seconds after, like, because you were coming across the exact same blatantly, like, this is a problem. Like, why can't we do this? And, like, the main one for me was, like, you guys were like, why can't we just open the back of this reclaimer? Like, and there even is, like, a hatch. There even is a bigger hatch on the back as well. Like, it's got a joint and everything. That whole back flap, like, if that opened up, like, my main problem there with that was, like, you could have all those people working together. But ultimately, I was still doubting, like, I don't know if they're going to make the appropriate more amount of money selling by moving them all off and on as they're doing it than if they just scraped it, disintegrated it, got the hell out of there, sold it, went back out, did it all over again. Well, you know? Like,
that's the thing.
It can't be.
That's the thing, is we really weren't going for money today. My whole goal with this one was to see if we could get five people on a ship all doing different things, except for the hull scrapers, and having fun. Because we've never been able to do that in Star Citizen in 10 years.
Yes.
Right? Besides maybe a hammerhead.
Okay, but that's the thing about being a content creator for Star Citizen, average player, where the average player is motivated by money, where we've played and we don't care about money whatsoever. If we want money, we can get money, you know? Right,
but the way I see it, CIG needs both. CIG needs to know if this is going to make good money, and they need to know if this makes for good gameplay that they're trying to do.
Yes,
and in the
ETCU,
that's the best time to find out.
I 100% agree, because the gameplay stuff needs to be fun, and, like, you and I know how to play the game just for fun, but
I try.
People need to be guided by the natural gameplay loop and those motivations to be forced to play it, not forced, but encourage. Come to the conclusion to play it and encouraged by like well-designed gameplay loops to play it in the funnest way possible. So they get the experience of naturally coming across that multi-crew gameplay and multi-ship multi-crew gameplay. And then that feeling that they'll get for the first time when they like look at that sale price and how much they made and like, oh, if we just worked even better, if we did this, oh, next time if you got that, oh my God, imagine how much we make. Let's try that next time. Like that is the way, like they can make the gameplay as best as possible and all this, but you still need a natural way to funnel people into doing that. Otherwise, you're gonna like, you know, let's admit it. More fun might be in becoming a pirate and messing up people trying to do that. And then they get all the money from like the people doing the hard work, and that becomes the most profitable way of doing it, that it just gets like, it just forms a toxic player base.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that. If
that's not the hardest way to play the game, they're doing it wrong.
Exactly. And it, like, it's all like, that's all Corley going to be motivated at this point by money. And that's why you need to be so careful with about what's worth what, and you know, and that it really is reflective. The payback at the end of the day is reflective by how many people were on the ship and how seriously they took the, what they were doing to be efficient and running that ship well.
I don't think we're at that point yet.
No, we're not.
I don't think the economy is
as it's being developed. As it's being developed, though, these are the things that need to be considered now. So when they do build these systems, they're all built with all these things in mind. So, like, one, yes, it's a fun game now, and that two, that they don't develop things too much in one direction that isn't taking that into consideration, and then either they don't go back and fix it, or it becomes something that is just left that's broken, which isn't fun, or people, you know, they find the next meta of trying to just ruin things or whatever.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of subtleties that they need to tackle to do this. Talking about like the overall sort of like process of salvaging, something that popped up in chat here on the Discord with supporters watching live was the idea of there being a little bit more logic to the way that you do salvage. So I think this draws back to Shipbreaker, Hardspace Shipbreaker quite a bit, but the idea that maybe you have to vent or siphon out the explosives first before you then crack the hull, and you know, you gotta scrape the hull away for something like that. What do you think of there being a natural, like we talked about, encouraging process to make people go through a certain stage of steps in order to get the most material out?
Yeah, I mean, I can see some people in that chat as well saying, thinking, oh, like most people play for fun, not for grind for game money. I think that's that sort of thing is because the questions I'm asking now, it's sort of like you don't want to see how the sausage is made. But when you think about and take care with, like, you know, trying to get into people's heads and motivations and stuff now, that is what. If you've done it well, then the player will never know that that was even thought of in the first place, kind of thing. Like, if you do it really well, it'll be seamless. But what was your question more so? I went off track.
I was just asking about, like, if you were to have different parts of salvage, draining fuel, draining oxygen, what do you think of creating logical steps in which that has to be done so that people can get the most efficient or the most material out of the experience?
See, I think for me, because I always think about one of my like dream sort of gameplay loops is I like the idea of just staying out in the black for as long as possible and doing something and working on something in the middle of nowhere, kind of like not having to go to planets or stations or whatever. So having, say, like if they got it right where you could keep the reclaim out as you were doing and having, you know, ships in your org or whatever coming and, you know, making it definitely more, you know, profitable in a gameplay loop and, you know, monetarily in game, work as efficient as possible. If you're really efficient, you're working in there like it's a factory, you know, because that's what the reclaimer is. It's a flying factory. If you're working it like that, then not having to go back to planets and that, you're going to need those resources. So as a salvager, it should immediately be like, all right, well, if we're going to be out here and doing this and having ships coming to, you know, pick things up and we're not going out or whatever, that is a cost that we're going to have to pay, which is going to be the life support stuff can only last for so long since we're not going back. So then that introduces new purposes for having to salvage stuff. Your supplies are going to go down. So, you know, like with, you know, we're able to buy those containers now and put our own things in them, but what if we start getting those containers in ships that we salvage, and inside the containers inventory could be a bunch of, you know, drinks and foods and those sorts of supplies that we need. Like, why it could work both ways, you know?
Yeah.
And getting whatever the cost is for staying out and not refueling, not getting your weapons and not doing all that is, there should be an element of that that we can gain by being more of a grubby little salvager or garbage man to go through to take those resources. Whatever, like, you know, HP is left in that ship in whatever way, or you should be able to get back in a different sort of way of doing it.
It should be an element of survivability as much as...
Exactly. And the better that you take care of those systems and keep all that stuff in mind as a good captain, like, that's the things a captain would come, would make these decisions, right? Like, if there's a bunch of friends just out there, they're all just doing their role as they need to. And like with the cargo, the cargo, you know, handling and management, like we were saying, that is now feeling like a real gameplay loop. The captaining element is also a part of that loop now.
Yep.
It needs to be the one, like, that's his concern to worry about. That when we rock up, like, as, you know, content creators, we usually take that role kind of instinctively, where, like, we tell people what to do, you know, and then but they also come onto the ship knowing that that's, you know, they've accepted that doing it. But when you're playing a game just with friends, that might not be as clear in general, and that, you know, that could lead to chaos if you've got all these people on that scale all working together. Like, you'll need a captain.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying that is it's a whole gameplay loop in itself as it's sort of being fleshed out now. And that he should be the person deciding, you know, you're the engineer, go do this. Or we need to make sure we get water next time because you idiots are going to work until you're dehydrated and you're just going to be, you know, floating up and down the elevator in no time.
Yeah. And the way that you're describing salvage working is, like, again, going back to this idea that it's not a profession, it's something that's going to be built into all parts of the game. What part of it is, it sounds like it's the cargo side of it that's more exciting to you than the other sides of salvage?
I just think it's...
Not in terms of money, but just in terms of interest.
I mean, look, at the moment, like, I think this is another thing I said to you sort of earlier as well, that, like, I'm of the rare opinion that I agree with CIG at the moment in that the salvage, like the structural salvage as it stands, isn't what it's going to be at all because they're waiting for Maelstrom.
Yeah.
And what it's going to be when Maelstrom comes in, that gameplay then is going to be really fun and interesting, and, you know, that'll be something more to talk about that stuff with, like, you know, when they're doing it. But at the moment, the stuff that we have here is just the questions about the cargo and what we're doing with it. And, you know, then so at the moment, that's what I'm interested about right now because it's what we have right now, you know?
Yeah, I get you. So do you have any theories of what they might do with once Maelstrom comes in? Because some people think they might use lasers. Some people think they'll stick with this sort of field emitter and just figure out how that can fracture with Maelstrom. What are you thinking? Some people think they'll bring back the claw.
Well, yeah, I would like if they, with the claw, because I would still like them to use that sort of, that processing room that's behind the
Oh, the turrets and stuff.
Yeah, but you know, there's the window with the whole crushing machine and all that sort of thing. I would like if what they did, like, and this is just like, I mean, there's plenty of things I would like them to do, but in the realistic with what they've got there at the moment, and you know, not just throwing everything out and recreating how I would dream like it, but I would like it if it was, you know, Maelstrom. It means that you play some sort of mini game, whatever, to fracture part of the ship, but depending on how well you've done it, then a different amount will fracture off it. You know, with Maelstrom, it means literally like pieces and stuff, like individual unique pieces, not just like splitting into three or four parts and then pointing it out and sucking it in. Then I would like to actually be able to, instead of just disintegrating whatever's directly in front of you, I think they should be using those tractor beams on the hull scraping thing to kind of like pull those parts with the tractor beam towards the extended claw that has more of like a stasis field around it. And you can kind of like draw those things in. Once they're in that stasis field, you know, they're not going to be bouncing around. It's going to kind of hold them there. And then once you feel like you've got enough, then that claw closes and then pulls that sort of amount of stuff that you've managed to grab into that, you know, production room that's behind the cockpit. And then from there on those terminals, then you can work on disintegrating it into the buffer. Or maybe it's just something where it's then you fire it up and then over time that slowly disintegrates it and adds it into the buffer. Because then that way, you know, you've got the core actually doing core stuff. You don't have to be like, all right, I've got the core. Now I'm like, you know, if you think about the reality of what people were kind of thinking it was going to be, they literally thought they were going to have a core come out, and they were going to drive the ship up to the big hand, and then they were going to close the core on by a bit and then pull them in a little bit one by one. And there's no fun gameplay or nothing like super speed or profitable that's going to happen from that. But I think a realistic sort of compromise is, you know, even with the claw they have at the moment, like that extended with its little fingers out, that could easily have a little sort of stasis-y, one of the effects that they're using kind of just in front of it. And then you're using, like, the tractor beams have more of a purpose again that you've got on the hull scraping things. So you've got more of a team kind of effort, like moving them into that little stasis field and then being like, all right, we've got enough. Or, oh no, there's pirates rocking up. All right, quick, close it. We've got to get it in. It takes time. Like, you know, that closes down, moves it in. And that also means at that point that what they actually, like, once that closes, they can then delete that asset. And then whatever pops up in the back is just, you know, one of 10 variable different assets. Because maybe it's like a bunch of cans. You know, when you have, like, when you crush a bunch of cans into a cube at the tip or whatever, and they've got those big, you know, big things of just random bits of metal that are pushed together into like a cube. They could just look like that. It doesn't have to look like any ship in particular. That way, they're not using that many assets. They're not like, it's not all dynamic with what they're crushing. You just got metal kind of in that back section. So I think the amount of steps that it goes from this is a ship. Now it's in the buffer. Now go be a box jockey. You know, that's way too short. Like, of what's happening in that thing, and all that shortness. That's why everyone's upset. It's because, well, that doesn't match my, you know, mental idea. Image of how the core was going to work, or, you know, it's just another beam kind of thing. Which is, but the thing is, as I said, I've got the rare unpopular opinion of that. Well, CIGO are right at the moment to just make it like this, because what the hell else were they going to do? Were they just going to use the same thing of like, oh, well, we're still waiting for technology to come, so we're not even going to think about it. Like, no, we wanted to get this to you now, and so we can see what happens with how people play it, or what are people's needs, what would be most fun. And it's only now that we're getting those little bits of gameplay through that totally we're seeing what would be really important. And like, no one knew the answers before. And like, people might think that they knew the answers, but they didn't know shit. And that's why I think it's just so important that like they've done it the way they have now. And I look, CIG have given me reason enough now to trust that they are actually going to be doing these things now, because in the past year, the Reclaimer has gotten so much more gameplay by put into it. An old ship. There's like so many other ships have. They've proven that they're actually working on those old things now. And so when they say stuff like that, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's That makes both logical sense, like from like a developer standpoint, and also like good sense on that they're giving us gameplay, they're giving us more functionality to those older ships and stuff, and that, you know, they're doing the job of Star Citizen.
Yeah. The thing I don't know about when it comes to using the claw, how people want it to be used, and like you said, a lot of the criticism comes from folks that I don't think really had an idea of how it was going to work, besides mm-hmm. just grabbing stuff. And the problem I have when I look at that is they have this massive grinder in the ship, which kind of gives you the impression that it's grinding down some fairly large pieces, you know, 4, 5, 6 foot pieces of metal. But I don't really see a clear way for that to get into the ship. Like, through the claw, the space is not that big. So I do...
Yeah.
No matter what...
It did have, like, a little hole in it, but...
Yeah.
You're right. Like, no matter what, parts had to get smaller.
Yeah, no matter what, it's always going to be something that happens mostly on the outside of the ship. So I feel like that whatever that room is in the back with all the grinding, now that they have the gameplay elements there, that could be made smaller if need be. And I don't know if True. If that would change the dimensions of the ship too much that they don't want to do it. But I could see a fairly large rework going on, because
it would be a lot of work.
Yeah. But it just seems like the fracturing and disintegrating process are easier done on the outside.
I mean, have you thought of though that it's not necessarily that room is going to be the big pieces in there and then grinds when it goes out of that room? It could be that it enters that room being grinded by those grinders.
That's fair.
So on its way, there's a whole, in that time where you don't see it, that's the magic programming time.
Right.
Where you essentially just turn off all assets previously, as soon as like, yeah, that's the magic trick. And then you just turn on the asset that you need to make that transition. And so things could just be firing. It could be like, you know, that like disintegration, the Thanos snap effect we get when we suck it into the ship. It could be that coming out of those grinders.
Right.
And then you process that.
That's the funny thing is, if they did it like that, would people still be unhappy? It's hard to nail down what people are unhappy about. Are they unhappy that there's no physical interaction? Are they unhappy that the fracturing isn't more detailed? Are they unhappy that there's no skill? Everybody kind of has their own thing. And I think the most important thing is that the fracturing process doesn't have any skill. And like,
yeah,
you know, whatever magic they can do behind the scenes to represent disintegration, I don't mind. But I think that's what the majority of unhappiness is like what you said. There's just really nothing stopping you from making a ton of money doing this really fast, because it's just a time thing. And that's, I think, probably what they're working on the most now. I mean, it feels like they dropped this in so they could see us play it, and over the next 6 months, they can now build what really needs to happen when Maelstrom comes online.
I think it's literally just people are upset because the full gameplay isn't in, but they never said the full gameplay was in. In fact, they've been extremely open with saying, we admit, we know the gameplay is not in there, but we could do this. And you know what? Because I think they said in Star Citizen Live or something, but someone said, like, you know, we were told, get this in by the end of the year. Get a version of Cyborg Structuring in by the end of the year. And you know what? Thank fuck.
I got it.
Someone had the backbone to tell the developers and everyone in the team, like, no more lollygagging. No more like, oh, but what if we'll bump this so we don't have that? Get it done. Get gameplay in by this time so everyone has something, some version to play around with by the end of the year. Thank God someone said that. Because otherwise, how many things haven't been done? And there's so many things that everyone complains about because some producer or whatever didn't say, no more talking, no more we don't have the technology there yet. We can't put in a game. We only want to put ships in the game and when they have full functionality. Otherwise, people will be upset at us. We don't want to do anything that's upset us. Someone said, no, get it done by the end of the year. And we're getting it by the end of the year.
I wish they had done that with scanning. I'm so disappointed in how
they handled scanning in this game. Yeah, you're right.
It's pathetic. I mean, no offense to the devs, but like, we can't even see a cave. Like, we have rivers, we have caves, we have settlements, we have boxes, we have all this stuff. I guess you could see boxes, but like all this stuff, and you can't even see it.
To be fair, I think that is one that they were like Squadron 42 first, then we'll pull it over.
And that
said that about everything, but you know, feature complete. Now we can technically actually look forward to a lot of those base functionalities that were just like lacking for forever.
Do you know
maybe potentially finally coming in?
Do you know what deep space probing is?
Hey now, maybe we talk about that after the podcast. You know, people are listening.
No, but really, in Star Citizen, you know what deep space probing is?
Tell me.
Well, I don't need to, because CIG probably should have. That's like, I did a video on deep space probing like 3 years ago, and we still haven't even talked about it. And like, that's besides
sounds like it's
my
part
point.
Of exploration. You know, exactly. That sounds like a part of it's yeah. Part that of whole scanning. Loop is one of those like, oh, we don't want to start it because we haven't done it. We haven't had the meeting where we had to make decisions yet. And so I don't want to be the one that leaks something that doesn't come out
they
and end
did,
up being
though.
In it. I'll
That's
get in
the
trouble.
Frustrating part. I covered it. Yeah. And they didn't say they were going to do a bunch of extra stuff, but they were definitely putting effort into scanning and trying to push it in a way that we could use it. And then they just stopped. And like,
well,
I really wish they had done what they did with salvage with that and just like been like, oh yeah, you can detect these things, but we're not going to tell you how they're different or anything. Just like the most bare minimum would have been.
I mean, so the one good. Positive sign about that, though, is, like, even though I think it's so stupid, but the Drake Cutter Scout, the fact that they brought that in now, where it's only defining other function, is an element of actual exploration gameplay where you can get a benefit from using that function. That tells me, I believe that that means that, yeah, where it's gonna be functionable very soon, like that, like being able to scan ahead and then set like a waypoint and people can jump to that waypoint. That's a very large part of what begins that whole look into that gameplay loop and how we can use those systems. And the fact that they released it, because oh my god, if they just released that and they have no intention of actually working on and like making that bit of functionality a reality this late in the game, I can think of a million better variant ideas that they could have done for that with a gameplay that actually exists in the game. So many other better ideas. Like, why the heck would they have done that?
Dead Leader, you know what game we're following, right?
But no, but that's what we've been saying. The past 2 years, like, they've been keeping up. They've been really working on realizing what they're saying and being serious about it.
I agree with you there. But the Cutter Scout, in my opinion, was actually the worst part of Star Citizen. Or Citizen Con. Like, the base building felt like a better announcement than that. For them to bring out the Cutter Scout, the variant, like you said, of a ship we already got, And then kind of like present it based on its scanning possibilities and then talk about the scanning possibilities and then nothing else. You know, I kind of expected them to follow up with that on the navigating the verse, because they started to talk a little bit about waypoints and setting waypoints and all that. I expected them to get a little bit more into how the scanning was going to work, but they didn't. And
I mean,
I was like, you guys, why did you even talk about just drop the ship?
I was the same with you on that. I mean I hated the Cutter Scout. I hated it. I was on the stream, I was screaming when I actually streamed. I did do a bit of a stream on over Citizen Con, and but when they said it's like actual functionality bit, that one bit about being able to scan ahead and set a marker that people on your team can warp to, that's the only bit where I went, oh. And I think that the entire release of that variant was really them announcing that type of gameplay and functionality was coming. It wasn't an announcement for a ship, in my mind. It was an announcement for that is coming.
See,
but that is me just reaching and interpreting, but I have faith that that is something. It was the new map system they're talking all about, like selling waypoints and all this, and oh, that's in Squadron 42, and we're bringing that in. I feel like that they're bringing that in with the new map system.
But that's the thing. They didn't have to show us the Cutter Scout because they showed us the new map system. That's what got me excited. The Cutter Scout that's just a ship, right? Like, they could have just dropped the Cutter Scout and never talked about... My problem was that they talked about exploration gameplay and then sold the ship, and there's no exploration gameplay. Like, and if this was something that they were preparing for the next couple of patches, right? Something that had been worked on from Squadron and was brought over to the PU, then why didn't they show it during the Navigating the Verse panel? So in my mind, I'm like, hey, they just showed us the Cutter Scout talking about exploration gameplay that we probably won't see in the next year. I mean, I feel like we should because we're getting the star map, but they didn't give me that idea from that presentation.
They didn't. I agree they didn't do a good job at explaining it. And I may have just inferred from those two things that that is what they were saying, but it may be that I'm totally wrong. It may be, but I can also see it a thing that with them coming up with the scheduling and all these programs, that they didn't do a good job at communicating it, or even knowing that they didn't communicate it, because those two things collectively, I feel like you could assume that that's what they're saying by those two things, and they wouldn't need to explain it. But I may be just be totally wrong inferring that from it, and that they're just not saying it because they don't know.
No. I think you're completely right. You can't infer that. But because I've followed this game for so long, I don't like to infer things anymore.
If they're
not telling me the exact words of something, and even when they do, because I reported on last year's letter from the chairman.
Yeah,
you gotta be careful with that stuff. So I really do hope that it's there, because this is the gameplay I've been waiting for. But in my mind, from what we've seen, they introduced this straight to flyable variant with, you know, gameplay that's not in the game, and I just that bummed me out. But that's getting besides the point. Let's go back to salvage.
Wait, before we get back on track, I'm gonna ask you a question of something that's completely off track of all of that. Because I've been thinking about this for a few weeks now, and I want to know what you, and I want to know what people in that chat as well say, and say in the comments below, because I want to know answers to this of people's own personal experiences. You know, last year we got PES, persistent entity streaming, where things were staying around more or potentially infinite and all that, and it caused a lot of mess and troubles for a long time and everything, but there seems to be a lot of less messes and stuff now. Here's my conspiracy theory. Do you think Pez is even in the game at the moment? Do you have proof?
Yeah.
But think about it. Before it was in, things still stood like were around for a while. Things like you would come across a wreck and or a bunch of battles would be around. That was like that before, like Pez came in. Then they brought it in and there was trash and everything everywhere, and we assumed that they just sort of tidied things up and that. But have you recently, in the past like 4 or 5 months or something, really purposely left something somewhere and then came onto that same server and seen it there for like multiple days?
No, I haven't actually tested that.
Because I haven't seen any. Remember what definitely was on? Remember what Port Olisar looked like? Before they nuked it? Like, there were crazy clouds of garbage and stuff everywhere, and it was crashing everything always. Like, I honestly feel like they either just turned it off or changed the despawn timers.
That's what I think.
Way up, like way, way, way lower, that effectively it's not like to the point that it's not even in the game. Because if you just turn despawn points on everything, I haven't seen like a large weird collection of multiple days of anything in months, to the point that it feels exactly the same as before PES even became a thing.
I would guess that they're going to have it turned down to, I don't know what it is, but they're going to have objects culled until they can make sure that the game is going to run. I mean, instead of having everything broken all the time, imagining that they're culling stuff sooner than they want to. And they're just going to keep on doing that until they can get the game stable enough.
Well, I mean, my question is, though, then, what's the point of it, then? Because I remember, like, even before it, like, you would go on the same server, and the thing would still be there. like, you know, things would, a blown up ship or a body or a gun or whatever would be there for a significant sort of amount of time. I never felt like I was missing anything. It's not like, oh no, the respawn timer on that is going to be like 3 minutes, going to get to there now. But it felt like there was something new brought into the game. Like the first couple of months, even though it broke everything with PES, it did feel like it broke because there was something new about this. You could actively see when people were, if people were trying to grief things and crash a bunch of ships so they were in everyone's way around, like, you know, a space station, they could do that. And you could see the effect. And you had to deal with that live because it was something that was happening organically. But I haven't seen any organic kind of thing like that come from it since then.
I mean, salvage wouldn't be possible without it.
Well, they have salvage missions. No, and so they spawn in.
Like, we do bounties, and we just leave them hanging around. We'll come out back and get the cargo. We find ships around, like, outposts and stuff that have been sitting around. I don't know if they've been sitting around for days, but I don't think those are things that I would find before PES. Because remember, before PES, we also, they couldn't even spawn all the boxes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I bet it's definitely different, though, right?
Yeah.
From when it was.
It is. Yeah. They've turned, yeah, they've called things much closer. And I think that that's part of what they've talked about with the what was it? They had a third party provider that was having trouble. That's probably part of their solution of getting around that problem until it can get fixed.
I mean, I would love to see some actual transparency on an, you know, an Excel file that says each item and its despawn time and in what zones kind of thing. Because if not, you know, I'm going to have to get Camoral and we're going to have to go, we're going to have to make our own spreadsheet because it, I feel like
if you don't notice it
feels super suspicious to me. Is it, what's the point of it? Is it even there? Yeah.
But if you don't notice it, is it a problem?
Well, but I've noticed it. I've noticed it not providing any new gameplay effect to whatever point it is now. Like, I'll rock up to a bunker and it'll be fine. There might be an Aurora sitting there. But only that. It won't be like when there was like 10 ships, like all there. And that was the whole point of like salvage. It's like, oh, these ships are still going to persist. And you could come across a battle and you know, go and be like, wow, this is a jackpot for me. I'm going to go salvage all these ships and clean it up. And like, you know, have these dynamic, like persistent, like organic things that happen just from players doing player things. Yeah. And I haven't come across any of those situations in a long time to the point that, you know, it's had me thinking and bringing this up with people.
I agree there that would be kind of a downside to it. But when you say what's the point of it, I think it's the same as a lot of the other stuff that they've made, like even object container streaming, something that they made a big deal about and then just didn't really matter, is like eventually that it's going to be necessary. Like even if the game can function without it now, it won't in the future.
Ultimately, the purpose of PES in the long run might be that with server meshing, the whole writing the disconnecting, what's it called? The writing that persistence layer, essentially, to be able to then put on the new server. I think that is what they're focusing on because they need to disconnect it so they can put, you know, where those things are and those items. Like that as a technology is an important one in itself for server meshing for the purpose of that. Other than just being able to write all these items being around and persisting for really long to make things be there longer. I feel like they've turned that down to make the whole writing that persistence list and sending it to other servers to make server meshing a reality to get Pyro in our hands. I've got a feeling that that's what's happened. But I think I will be doing a video on it at some point, but I'll probably need a bunch of people's help because I think we need to do some serious testing. If for nothing else, not to be like, oh, it's not really here, but like, well, how long does that gown last for if you've chucked it on the ground for? I want to know.
Yeah, I think this will be a long-term thing we'll have to look into. Let me get back to salvage real quick. I want to talk to you about the Vulture and Reclaimer. What kind of changes do you think these need when as they move forward with now that we know how salvage is actually kind of working?
Well, it's there's two sort of parts to this, because there's like how they could work before Maelstrom, and then there's how they could work sort of post Maelstrom. Because
yeah, so just with Maelstrom, after that would be done.
After that would be done. Well, I mean, that's like that claw, like stasis field thing. That was one thing that would need to be like post Maelstrom. I think it would be boring if it was just those big, large chunks like right now.
Do you think they would need to change from the way that thing works?
They couldn't do that with the current version of it, because they break these giant... Essentially, most of the ships that they break are still ship size. Like the larger ships, they're just like a quarter of that. Like you can't...
Yeah.
Fit that in a claw. I can't crush that. It would still be doing like a magic effect or whatever. Like Maelstrom is literally breaking off like unique individual part and, you know, destroying it sort of live. And so getting that into and choosing how you're going to do that is a whole thing. And yeah, I mean, like simple things like cargo grids and that main elevator on the Reclaimer. That needs to happen.
Yeah, I need that bad.
I would really like elevator controls to be able to control which floor the elevator is on from the outside of rooms. So say if you're working, chucking boxes in the elevator and you want to take them out, you don't have to ride down with it. If you've got someone else out there that's packing the ship, you should be able to like put it in, stack your elevator on a cargo grid, and then click like, you know, exit or outside, yeah, and it go down by itself, then that person then kind of like takes things and packs it on and then sends it back up when it's ready to go. Then that guy who's made a bunch of boxes can do that purely just for the flow of how that works. Otherwise, you're like, you've made one person's job on the Reclaimer to be a bellhop in the elevator.
Yeah,
which definitely, that's boring. I definitely think that that hatch needs to open up. I would like if ultimately it made it so that, say, a ship that has some storage space in the back could even potentially land in it, or an MPUV or whatever, and you could load up some cargo directly in the back of that Reclaimer, and then it go and sell it, you know, bit by bit. Or, you know, those larger boxes, if you've got that big hatch, you just throw them out into space so those people could grab them and move them on. And once again, there is a big, like, joint on the very, very back, you know, the spider's butt, that big spider's butt. At the top of that, there's a hinge and there's a seam going around the whole side of it. Motherfucker, that thing was built to open. Just let us open it. Yeah. Like, and then being able, because, like, okay, I don't know. How much time have you spent in that cargo room when you've got, you know, you got a full buffer? And you click autocraft on those boxes and you set like, you know, 16 or whatever. Them like coming out and then putting them somewhere and then another one comes out. But like they're coming out fast. You need to be able to like do something with them. If you're just like, it doesn't line up with what's in there or how fast it takes to move them. And then like, if you're sitting there with a full buffer, the entire ship is useless.
Yeah, there's
and if there's no way to get them out, it's just not going to work. Like, and I think they need to look at as well the they need to make it really, really, really purposeful which size containers people craft, because then it sounds silly, but there needs to be a really obvious Tetris element to it. Like the size of grid that people have on their cargo grid, it can't just be, all right, just pump out the 16 ones, like 16, 16, 16. All right, it all perfectly fits. Get it out of here. No, it needs to be so like, all right, so we can fit two 16 ones this way. Then on the side, we're going to get, if we put the two SCU ones on the side, we can get that there. Then that lifts us to here. Then we can fit the max amount like this. Like that needs to be a part of that whole cargo loop of like ships need to be looked at by what grid they have to make it like that you want to have a variety of different sizes. And then you need to make sure that the time that it like, you know, costs to make those size ones is, you know, and not just an accurate reflection, but worth it to do it that way as well. Like you can't just go like, all right, instead of doing the 16 ones, I'll do these two ones, but it takes the same amount of time to make them. You know, it needs, you need to be able to pump them out. And then you, if it's pumping them out faster, you still need to be able to get them out of that dang ship, like at that speed. And you can't as it stands. And like all those things need to be taken into a lot more sort of consideration, I think.
Yeah. Also the fact that you won't be getting, like you said, you know, the disintegration and fracturing process is so fast now that you can't even catch up with them. But maybe when that slows down because of Maelstrom, it might be easier to move stuff out quickly and that flow won't be as big a problem. But I agree, there's not enough storage in there.
There's a bottleneck. Like, yeah. And once again, like all that stuff really affects someone's, just like at your average player's decision on if they're going to fracture it, collect the money as fast as possible, get out of there. Or if they're actually going to engage with the entire process of the loop, like, you know, and it'd be worth it for them. Like, you know, even if it's not to do with money, they need, like, it needs to not be a total chore. And one of the main things, like that bottlenecks all that, is getting that cargo out of the ship or getting it to those other floors in some way.
And we
otherwise, yeah, otherwise you can't do anything. The whole thing just stalls. It's bottlenecked.
Yeah. And we wouldn't know that if they hadn't gotten the gameplay in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they would never have known how important it would be, which affects all sorts of changes that they make in the future, or what priorities and stuff are there.
There's a lot of knock-on effects from getting salvage into the game that we're going to probably see at some point, even before Maelstrom, that like something as simple as if they do get scanning into this game and exploration, that's going to be affected by the fact that salvage has more people doing it. And I think those are the kinds of little intangible things that are going to benefit from it coming in, even at this state.
I mean, it's going to make cargo elevators really important and like really great when they come in as well. Like if you can store commodities, like say it would be great if, you know, doing all that stuff, getting all these ships to go and ferry it and sell it, like, you know, place might not be able to buy anymore or whatever, then smuggling your own cargo in a lot smaller ships to take it to a station to then deposit it in your cargo elevator for later on or whatever, you might have like a king's ransom instructional materials and stuff parked away in a thing, then be like, all right, right, quick, let's all get together, we'll meet in the hangar, we'll park it, we'll pile it all on to a you know, a C2, but in this time we'll all get everyone in, you know, in fighters to help escort. We're going to get an escort group. Then we're all going to, all together, you know, that we all still here. We're going to get an escort group. We're going to do a massive mission to go and finally cash in on all this cachet of stuff that we got. Not just ferrying it back and forth in a bit, but, you know, it would make you, and after doing all that work, you'd really care about all that stuff that you'd work together. Everyone would jump online. God, Friday's the day when we go and we finally sell that. Because if you can just bank, the idea of just banking that stuff is really like an important part of that loop.
Yeah.
And then also, remember, if they, you know, made it more valuable or even only sellable at salvage yards, which, you know, aren't an armistice zone and people, you know, are always keeping an eye out for it to like rob people and stuff, which is, I love that whole, like, you can sell drugs there and all that stuff. Yeah. So people are often being dodgy and there's always exploded ships and stuff there. Like, I would love if that was a part of it. And like, you know, it would be an obvious risk taking a reclaimer through atmosphere and trying to do it like that. Like, that's a ballsy ass move to do something like that if you're like stacked.
Definitely.
But it's also, it's like, people are going to do it. So it's going to be a target for people to do. But if you're like, you know what, we've had like 10 Reclaimer full loads that we've got banked up on, yeah, we're all going to get together with the org and all the mates and that. We're going to get people on fighters. They're going to get these Redeemer. We're going to go down. We're going to put ground vehicles down there. We're going to clear it out, get ground vehicles and escorts all around there and like a Mantis, you know, scouts all looking out. You know, everyone's going to be ready to make sure it's safe. All right, we've got the landing area loaded. Like, move in these ships. You know, like 5 C2s coming in, all landing. Run, quick, go, sell. And then finally seeing, like, you know, the successful feeling of like cha-ching, cha-ching, the numbers, everyone posting the image of how much each one was sold for to Discord. People then like doing using the calculator, oh, I'll send you this, here's your pay, here's this, 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 is like, you know, and that feeling of success of like the mission working, or, you know, the other way, the heartbreak. All that teamwork, all the massive dog, but you're going to fight tooth and nail if, like, you know, all of a sudden an A2 comes into sight, you know, and you're going to make sure that you plan for it. Like, that'll happen to you once. That's if you get caught off guard, but that's not going to happen to you a second time with you at least putting up a fight for it or, yeah, like, trying to seriously take in, like, consideration defenses and everything. And that's, to me, that's when Star Citizen, when it hits those levels of enough mechanics and things take into consideration organically that it has this organic play loop that isn't from any mission, that it's as it would be way more thrilling than like a Jump Town or a Siege of Arson, you know, in that type of experience, because this is something that you guys did and worked towards, and you know, you're going for that goal that's purely your own and it happened all naturally. That's the level of things and that I want to reach with Salvage, which is why I think it's a really good potential option for them making that. I mean, they're salvage yards, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, I think those will be good locations. How about the Vulture? How do you think the Vulture could change in the future to accommodate the way that Salvage is moving forward?
The only thing, and I've said this since the Vulture came out, the only thing that I think the Vulture should have, and it's an easy one, it's an easy change that can have. You need to make it so if you lower the back door of the Vulture, that if it spits out one box, it should be able to spit out another box, but then it poops the previous one out its back door and it's just floating in space. So you could infinitely be salvaging and all that in the Vulture, but everything that you're salvaging and like you have on auto, if you're like soloing it, that's going to just become a larger and larger, you know, risk for you and like a big cross drawn on top of your head. If someone comes by you, the longer you're doing it for, the more it's worth, the bigger risk it is, but also the better reward. Like, you know, and it naturally brings that in and adds all that risk to a solo pilot. And then that also instinctively is going to get that one person to reach out to a friend or maybe join an org or try and find someone to team up with to come and do that salvage, you know, the cargo loop of like, come grab the stuff that I'm doing here. I'll just stay out here. You collect it with the tractor beams, move it on the board, and you go sell it back there. I'll stay here. Like, that immediately is a far more realistic version of what we've been saying is going to take quite a lot of tweaking to get the reclaimer to be able to do that at that right risk versus reward thing of taking the cargo off, running and selling it versus just the reclaimer going and selling it, because the Vulture just doesn't have the cargo space, so it has to go and sell it each time. But by adding more risk on doing that is something that is immediately going to give it far more both, like, you know, potential for profit and not take it out of class from the reclaimer. Like, a lot of people saying that, well, now the reclaimer could do all this. Like, the Vulture's just left behind. Like, it's like, can't do anything, really. And, like, it's like, well, you can if you take on this risk of just pooping it all out.
The reclaimer's not going to be able to go in a lot of areas. Definitely. Even like one of the Squadron 42 shots, they kind of showed these really smaller locations. I think that's where the Vulture might shine. They might try and focus on benefiting from that size difference, is what I'm trying to say.
True. I mean, it would be interesting if, like, you know, you were able to go to like derelict space stations in Pyro and you had to like salvage a particular piece like out of it or disconnect a certain thing and use its tractor beams to sort of pull it out of, you know, to go and take the entire pod or part of a you know, a space station or ship off somewhere else by like using its tractor beams better, or, you know, at that, you know, you can only, because there's parts of in Pyro, you know, those big the space stations that were had big chunks missing out of them and stuff. I was flying ships in those. Like, I was like, what's in here? And I like went through big holes and I was like, there's got to be like a secret passage somewhere here that I can like take the Pisces in and like land it somewhere or something. Like, it was begging to have that sort of gameplay, I feel.
Yeah, I think it was. It's yeah, I'm really looking forward to that kind of stuff. So the Vulture and Reclaimer are our two salvage ships. We've talked about how we kind of see them reclaim or changing to accommodate this gameplay. Before we go, I'd love to hear what you would like to see from maybe the next salvage ship, and how it could build on the stuff we've learned and maybe introduce some new form of salvage that you think could improve things or anything like that.
Yeah, I'd really like a medium-sized salvage ship, because I think it would be cool if we had something that, you know, just with like two people operating it, two or maybe three, you could, you know, get in and do a, you know, just a, there is no middle version. I think I know a lot of people who enjoy the Vulture, but they're like, well, there's no way I can afford a Reclaimer. Like, and even then, a lot of them are too scared that if they do it, they're like, well, I can't operate it. Like, I don't have all these friends. Like, you know, it's a big commitment, but there's no medium version of it. Like, you know, that at very least have more cargo. Like, yeah, I mean, it would be cool if there was one that was like, maybe if it was used in tandem with the Vulture, it could be like a support. Maybe it had like external cargo grid, like the whole series has, where like, so if other people say in the Vulture, they say the Vulture in this one, you know, they'd be making all their cargo or whatever, and then connecting it to their own grid. But then the Vulture would be like every now and then going back and depoting it, or say if you had it where it could, you know, poop out the boxes of the back of the Vulture, you could have someone just out in general moving everything out of, you know, that medium-sized ship, but also out of the Vulture's clouds and connecting it to this external grid, essentially fulfilling the role of the, you know, the cargo carrier coming in and picking up from these salvage ships. Like, it could be part cargo as well on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah, a medium ship would be cool. That would actually be really nice.
Plus, we could, it'd be interesting taking a look at different ship manufacturers for it, you know, like, I could see RSI doing a pretty nice one.
Yeah, I think that could work out too.
Oh, I mean, hold on. What's like Argo? Why doesn't Argo have in fact, it was weird that Drake made a salvaging ship, to be honest. Like, Argo were the more logical people to do it, and I can, you know, if you just shuffled a bunch of different Argo parts around, you'd get what would substantially just look like a salvaging ship in my mind anyway.
Well, there's always the future.
Yeah.
They always got more ships coming, you know that.
Yeah, we got some more JPEGs we can buy. Actually, I bought my first JPEG recently, my first ever. It's the Polaris, so I trust that that's actually
popular one.
Somewhere in the horizon, they'll be next year.
We hope so. Dead Leader, thank you so much for joining me for this talk today, man. I appreciate you coming on, talking some salvage stuff. If you could let everybody know where they can find your own content before we head off, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's just Dead Leader on YouTube. Spelt as you see on that box, D-E-D. That's it, really. That's all.
Easy enough, Dead Leader, Dead Streamer.
Plenty of videos on salvage and stuff. I'd like to mess around with it where I can.
Find it on YouTube. Of course, down in the show notes below. Thank you everybody though for coming and listening to this latest episode. Launch sequence will be going for the rest of the year, and we've got some big plans for next year, so keep tuned to hear what's coming up. But of course, as always, you can find this on YouTube. You can also find it ad-free on audio platforms if you'd like. And if you're a supporter, come check it out live if you want. We do some pre-show and post-show talk that sometimes has the tea. It's got the drama. So thanks again for joining me, Dead Leader. I appreciate you.
Oh, good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And thank you all for listening. See you all next week.